Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
We have an amazing children's ministry. Our children's pastors are sitting right here. Pastor Junior, can you just get up and show everybody what you're rocking with this morning? I'm going to turn it on. Yes. Nothing else screams children pastor than that suit. So we have an amazing children's ministry. But today, you know, we have the whole family here with us on Sunday morning, and hopefully we can all partake from this word that God has for His people. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah 7. We're going to read 10 through 4. And I want to give you a little bit of context before we start reading. And I know we have kids here, but this requires a little bit of a history lesson. So I hope nobody falls asleep on me. But we have to kind of set this up. During this time of what we're about to read, there is a military threat for the kingdom of Judah. During the time of King Solomon, Israel and Judah were one kingdom. After Solomon, the kingdom was divided into Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And this is well after that. And Israel here in this time was forming an alliance with the nation of Syria. Both nations were trying to annihilate the kingdom of Judah. And so the king of Judah, which is Ahaz, he's under a lot of pressure. He's trying to figure out things and, you know, how he's going to save the nation. And so he starts to think about forming an alliance with the Assyrians. If you know anything about history, you know that the Assyrians were the ones who actually took out Israel once and for all. So this would be an evil alliance, and God did not want that. And so he assures Ahaz that Judah has nothing to worry about, that he is with the kingdom of Judah. God has a plan for the people of Judah. The Messiah would come from the line of Judah. But that still didn't really convince Ahaz. He wanted to do his own thing, and that's where we pick up. So would you just stand with me as we read Isaiah 7, 10 through 14. It says, "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.' And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And he shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day of Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Syria.'" Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, my God, for this word that you've spoken over your servant. Lord, I pray that you would speak it to your people this morning. I pray that this would be a reminder, Lord, that you have not left your people, that you are with your people, my God. And I pray that we would walk out of here with the peace and the comfort and the joy of knowing that our God has not left us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. The title of my sermon is With Us. With Us. God is with us. Amen. 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 That's my hope this morning, is to offer a simple yet peaceful reminder that God is still with you. God is with his people. The Bible says that his word, that the word says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And Matthew, in fact, the very last verse of Matthew, where Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go out and to make disciples of all nations, he says, "Behold, I am with you to the end of the age. I am with you always." We serve a God who is always present. And I want to kind of talk about what that means exactly for God to be with us. This Isaiah passage contains one of the most famous prophecies about the Messiah, the Emmanuel. The Gospel of Matthew applies the meaning of Emmanuel, which is God with us, to Jesus. But in the time of Isaiah, some 700 years before Jesus, This was not just a messianic prophecy. This was an immediate prophecy as well concerning another little boy who would be born and be named Emmanuel. So there's two prophecies here in one in this passage. Both of them hold significance in their time. In either case, these were times where the hope of Emmanuel was needed. It was needed to bring peace in the middle of oppression, and it was needed to bring faith that God's word was true and would not return void. Sometimes we just need the hope of Emmanuel. We need to know with absolute certainty that God is with us. You know why? Because it's not always obvious. I know we preach about it. I know we sing songs about it. But the presence of God in our lives, if we're honest, I like to be honest when I preach. I don't like just to be spiritual. I like to be honest. If we're honest, sometimes the presence of God in our lives is not obvious. Because there are times when God does allow our enemies to overtake us. There are times when there is an evil that oppresses us, whether it be temptation, whether it be sickness, whether it be a person. And in these moments, the people of God need that reminder that God has not abandoned his people. Because King Ahaz, I'll tell you what, man, he's feeling that stress here in this moment. He's feeling the fear of this military conflict. It does not look like God is with his people. It doesn't look like God is on our side. Now, the part we didn't read is the part where God tells Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah that this invasion will never happen. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to fear. Verse 7 says, this is what the Lord says. This invasion will never happen. It will never take place. And then God says these words to Ahaz. He says, unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. That is a very important verse for all of us, church, because even when God is with us, if we don't have the peace of his presence, if we don't have the faith that he is going to work things out, we will not be able to stand firm. God was with the Israelites. Listen, God was with the Israelites when they went to spy out the land of Canaan. You remember that story, right? When Moses sent out the 12 spies to go and spy out the promised land, that was already theirs. It was theirs for the taking. God was with his people. They had the assurance that God was going to fight with them, that his word was true, but because of a lack of faith, they could not stand to go up against the enemies of the promised land. That was theirs. So I don't know who needs to make that personal this morning, but unless your faith is firm, God cannot make you stand firm. I don't care how much we preach about it. I don't care how much you say amen. I don't care how many songs of faith you know. I don't care how many Bible verses you know how to quote. If you don't have the faith of God's presence with you, God can't do anything to make you stand firm. So God basically told the Israelites, look, my plan is moving forward. My plan is going to happen whether you like it or not. This group is just not going to be a part of it. And he's warning Ahaz of the same thing. Ahaz, my plan is going to happen. My plan is going to move forward. But if you can't withstand the pressure, if you can't take a little bit of heat, if you can't believe me and take me at my word and trust that I am with my people, that I can't do nothing for you, Ahaz. I can't make you stand firm. You choose whether or not to be a part of my plan. And I want to say something this morning that some of you might disagree with me on theologically, but I'm just going to tell you this is where your pastor stands. I don't think if God were to make me a promise, there is nothing I can do to stop it. Nothing. Some of y'all are saying, well, pastor, what about free will, pastor? Well, what about doing your part, pastor? I'll tell you what, if the plan of God hinges on humans, yeah, we'd be in trouble. We wouldn't be able to believe anything that God said if it was dependent on humans. So if God makes me a promise, there's nothing that I can do to thwart the plan of God. I do not have that much power. I do believe that we have free will. I do believe that there are consequences when we are disobedient. But if God makes a promise, This is why I think this. Look, if God makes you a promise, the promise is not about you. If God makes me a promise, it's not about me. And I think many Christians think that the divine promises over their lives are about them. They're not. It might include you. It might involve you in some major way. And what a privilege to be used by God as a part of his plan. But God's plan is bigger than you. See or no? And I don't know what that does to some to your ego this morning. I don't know what that does. But God's plan is not about you. The promise of God, the promise that God made to David wasn't about David. It was bigger than David. David didn't even get to see it. The promise that God made to Moses was bigger than Moses. Moses didn't even get to see it. The promise that God made to Abraham was bigger than Abraham. Abraham didn't even get to see it. And I know that they have their names on it. Mosaic covenant, Davidic covenant, Abrahamic covenant. But none of these promises were about these people. The promises of God are about God. And God may use you, but if you decide to go in a different direction, you know what God's going to do? He's just going to work around you. He might work through the stubborn heart that you choose to give him. Because God's promises are yes and amen. And there is nothing that man can do to thwart the plan of God. Even the devil knows this. And so when God makes a man a promise, the devil gets nervous. Because no matter what this man or woman does, God's promises stand firm. But if you can't stand firm, what does he say? If your faith isn't firm, I cannot make you stand firm. That's on you, Ahaz. That's not a me problem. My plan is going to advance with or without you. You can either be on board or you can stay there and throw a fit. Can I tell you that God has time? You don't have time. I don't have time. Time is against me. 5 more years, I'll be 40. Thank the Lord I still have the hair, right? Yeah. God has time to spare. God easily spared 40 years when the Israelites didn't have the courage to fight the inhabitants of the promised land. He didn't need Moses. He had Joshua. Even though he loved Moses, even though he spoke to Moses face to face, God's plan was never about Moses. Ahaz forgot this. Ahaz forgot that there was a covenant made with the house of Judah. Through David, that the throne of David would be established forever, that the Messiah would one day arise from the line of Judah. So if Ahaz just had the faith and the peace that God was with his people, I believe it would have gone better for him. And maybe you have a promise over your life, church. God has called you to something special, a special assignment for you. You know, my assignment right now, I believe, is to pastor this church. And there's many promises over this church, but none of it has to do with me. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a servant. I have the privilege of being a part of what God is doing now. But if I'm not around, God's still going to do it. And I don't know if I'll see every promise that God has spoken over this church. We'll have to see. My part is to know that even when things aren't looking good, that when the finances of the church start to dip, or the goal isn't met, or when the people aren't coming to church like they used to, or when there's drama in the church that I thought we were done yet, my job isn't to lose my cool. My job isn't to question the promises of God. My job isn't to say, God, what are you doing? I thought we were going places. Why are we going backwards? No, that's not my job. My job is to know that in everything, God is with his people. Amen. You getting this? But I also want to make it practical because it's easier preached than done, right? How is it that God is with me and I don't always feel him? How is it that God is with me and I don't always hear him? Because there's many times in the life of a believer where, you know, we're all in, we're doing all the right things, all the Christian things, but yet we still don't feel the presence of God.
There's other times where you can't help but feel the presence of God. I mean, everywhere you go, God won't leave you alone. But it's not always like that. It's not always like that, if we're being honest. And you know, you hear preachers say, well, you know, if you want God to move, you need to move. But that's not always true, because there's been plenty of times where I've been on the move. And I've been tilling the soil, and I've been obedient, and I've been faithful, and I've been in his word, and I've been in his presence, and I didn't see the fruit that I wanted to see. I didn't get the result that I wanted to get. I didn't get moved the way that I wanted to get moved. And it makes the people of God wonder, if I'm doing all of these things right, has God left me? Is he still with me? And so the people of Judah, during this military threat, during this time of fear and in uncertainty, they needed that assurance that God was still with his people. And almost 1,000 years later, after there had been no word, no new revelation, God had not spoken to his people in 400 years. The Jews were now under the oppression of Rome. They needed a reminder again that God was still with them, that God was still with his people. So Jesus was born as a reminder that God is still with us. God is still with his people. Look at the promise of God that I had forgotten about. My God never forgot about it. Now, the interesting thing is, when Jesus was born, the first thing Mary and Joseph had to do was flee to Egypt, right? Because there was a king who was trying to kill the Messiah. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Joseph, I would have some questions. Like, why do I have to run away if God is with me? Why should I be intimidated by an enemy if God is with me? Come on, how many of us today would be criticizing the faith of Joseph? Why, what are you doing? Where are you going, Joseph? Man up, bro. Why are you scared, bro? Come on, man. Where's your faith at? You got the embodiment of God with us. Where are you going? Why are you going to Egypt? Stay at your house, bro. Don't let the enemy kick you out. We'd be all over the faith of Joseph. We get a little cocky when we know that God is with us, right? Understandably. It's like when kids think that their dad is the strongest man alive. I used to tell my cousins, man, my dad could beat up your dad. And I believed it. I believed it, man. When my dad was around, I was suddenly not afraid of the dark. I was not afraid of bad guys. I wasn't afraid to go to sleep at night. Like, I knew if somebody breaks into my house, I'll be all right. My dad will take care of them. As long as my dad was with me, I was confident that nothing could touch me. And we all have that same innocence as children of God, that childlike faith that, oh, I can face that devil. He ain't gonna touch me. I can handle that. I can confront that temptation. I can go into that bedroom. I can answer that call. I can go into that bar. I can do these things because God is with me. We get a little cocky. But here's the thing. That's I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. We want to have that confidence that God is with us. We don't want to be walking in fear. But when I read the Bible, in the places where God was with his people, I think many of us have a theologically incorrect interpretation of what God with us actually means. You ready? And again, I'm not saying anybody should be afraid. I'm not saying that you should not have confidence. I'm not saying that you need to hide away from every enemy. I'm saying God with us is not about an outcome. It's about peace and it's about faith. When God is with you, it's much less about the thing that you're going through and much more about the attitude you carry as you go through that thing. That's the part of all this that I think is the most powerful. Presence does not mean perfect. Those who think this way will always miss out on the peace of God when things aren't perfect. The Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace, but not because when he's with us, everything is good. He's the Prince of Peace because when nothing is good, having Jesus still produces peace anyway. Right? So when I've got cancer, there can still be peace because God is still with me through the cancer. Right? When there is a burden, when there is pain, when there is death, I'm feeling all these things. When I'm in the valley, God is still with me so I can still have peace. It's not about an outcome. It's not, okay, God is with me. That means I'm going to be victorious every time. That's not what it's about. It's not God is with me, I'm going to win every single battle. It's not, no. It's about peace. It's about dwelling in the peace of God and knowing that whatever God says is going to come to pass. God with us is about peace. And it's also about faith. Because even if everything in your life is bleak and it looks irreparable, if God is with you, you know that he's working everything out for his good purpose. Nothing looks right. Nothing makes sense. But God is with me. That means I've got to keep on walking. I've got to keep on trucking. Because God's not done with me. You know, the way that the ancients believed about their gods, they believed that anytime something good happened, their gods were with them. So they would give glory to God. Right? We say that all the time. Right? God bless you with the job. Glory to God. Do you say it when you lost your job? See, because we still have a little bit of that mentality that when things are good, God is with us. When things are not good, God is not with us. That's the way that the ancients believed. We even see that hint of Job and his friends. Job's friends were like, well, surely God has left you. Surely you did something wrong, Job. You should be sinning because there's no other explanation for why God is allowing you to go through what you're going through. But the presence of God does not mean a perfect life for his people. There was nothing perfect about the situation that Mary and Joseph went through immediately after Jesus was born. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, I'm with you always. Right? That was the last thing that he said in the Gospel of Matthew. I'm with you always to the end of the age. And every single one of his disciples died for their faith. Even the favor of God isn't fair. We talked about it last week. Most of the time, the blessings come in the form of burdens. God's presence will not excuse us from hardship. And so the lesson that I pray that you walk out with today is that you would never equate presence with perfection. Rather, you equate presence with peace and faith. Because when you come up here, church, when your soul is thirsty for God, see, you might... In your mind, you might be looking for a fix. Your soul isn't looking for a fix. Your soul's not looking for perfect. Your soul is looking for peace. It's looking for hope. It's looking for strength. When your spirit says, God, I need you, it's not about God fixing things in the physical. It's about your soul learning how to be at peace in the middle of chaos. God with us. That statement alone should bring a sense of peace. And tranquility for all of us. When God says, I am with you, church, that should bring hope. When somebody's going through a really difficult situation, it sounds insensitive. And I talk to people all the time in desperate situations, and it sounds insensitive for me to say, God is with you. But that's the truth. And some people don't know how to receive that. Some people roll their eyes like, oh, here's just another Bible thumper just telling me that God is with me. No. But if you understood the power of that, if you understood that God with you should bring you peace and comfort and joy, that should be enough to lift up your spirit. God with you is also about faith and expectation that at any moment God is about to do something miraculous. But even if he doesn't, I still got the peace because God is with me. So, you know, if I'm Joseph, you know, the way that my mind works, I would probably be asking those questions like, why do I have to uproot my life for this king who's trying to kill my son? Who's a representation of God with me. It doesn't make sense. If God was really with me, why does it have to be this way? The presence of God is not about outcome. It's not about the environment that you're in. It's about the peace that you live in. It's about the faith that you carry. And I think part of the reason that God wanted to bring this word is because God's people, many times we lose our peace because we don't understand the significance of Emmanuel. You know, there's nothing deeply profound about this message. It's very simple. I just want to encourage you today that God has not left you, regardless of what you feel. Can I tell you that it's not about what you feel? We don't, I mean, at this church, we don't talk about our feelings, you know. Feelings are fleeting. We talk about things that are real and that have substance and that stay. It's not about feeling. Sometimes you're going to come to church and you're going to feel the presence of God, and it's going to weigh on you, and it's going to move you to tears, and it's going to move you to the altar, and it's going to make you make a good decision. There's other times where you're going to come into the presence of God and you might not feel anything. And the word didn't speak to you. And maybe your mind was somewhere else the entire time. And there's nothing of feeling that is calling you to the presence of God. But if you can get past that feeling and know that God is still with you, you'll come to the altars every time. You'll hit the ground with your knees every single time because you know the power of God with us. It's not about what you feel, man. Sometimes you're going to feel everything else but the presence of God. You're going to feel the reality of what you're going through. It's not about what's going right, because not everything is always going to go right. Emmanuel is about the peace and the faith. I know I keep saying that over and over, but I want to drive that point this morning. That's what I want you to leave with today. That Emmanuel is about peace and about faith. God didn't come down here to fix our problems. That's not what Christmas is about. It's not, you know, you needed a new air fryer, you know. So here's a Christmas gift. That's not what it's about. God wasn't concerned with our physical problems. How many of us are just waiting for God to fix our problems? You don't want to raise your hand. I'll raise my hand. Lord, fix it. Lord, take it. You know? And he might. He absolutely can fix every single one of our issues. But God came to be with us to offer peace of eternal life for those who put their faith in his name. And so God told Ahaz, I want you to ask me for a sign. I want you to ask me for a sign so that the people of Judah could trust in the Lord. And the Bible says that he refused to ask for a sign. It was because he already had in his mind to form an alliance with the Assyrians. He already had made up his mind. And you know, it's easy to stand up here and talk mess about Ahaz and his decision, but in reality, it's a lot easier for us to think logically about real solutions than to hope that God is just going to make something happen. All right? Ahaz had a real plan to a real threat. And God says, look, it's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. All right? I know it looks like it's going to happen. I know they're saying it's going to happen, but I'm telling you, this attack will not happen. And so I want to tie this in real quick, because I think this is a lot more relatable than we realize. And please get this today. Oftentimes, you will have a real promise that you cannot see while having a real threat that you can see. I'm going to say it again because you got to get it, because this is very often in the Christian life. You will have a promise that you cannot see, you cannot touch, while also having a real threat that you can see. And so this is where the power of God with us comes into play. Because when we see a real threat, what do we want? We want a real solution. We want a real plan. We want to strategize. But if we're not careful, all of that planning and all of that strategizing and all of that worrying takes us away from the promise that God made us. It takes us away from trusting in his word. It takes us away from the peace of just being still and obedient in the midst of the chaos. When you don't have a plan, knowing that God has got you. And it makes us desperate for solutions. And the beautiful thing in all of this is that God was patient, man. God was patient with Ahaz. God had enough grace. Thank you, brother. God had enough grace to see the worry of Ahaz, the anxiety and the stress. He saw it. And he says, all right, Ahaz, ask me for a sign so I can prove it to you. But Ahaz rejected the comfort of God. Can I tell you something that is going to sting a little bit? When you worry all the time, you reject the comfort of God. One more time. When you are a chronic worrier, when you are anxious about things that you cannot control. You reject the comfort of God with you. You reject the peace of God with you. When you live in the fear all the time and you're always looking over your shoulder because you don't know who's going to come and get you or what devil's going to come knocking on your door, you reject faith in God for the things that you fear. I'm just calling it like I see it, man. That's how it is. Because if you knew that God was with you, you would be able to breathe. Come on. If you knew that God knows every single one of your needs, you wouldn't have to bug him for every little thing, checking in on that prayer that I made 5 minutes ago. You would know that the God that you prayed for, that prayed to, is listening and attentive and caring. We don't know. We don't know. I think Christians don't really know the significance of Emmanuel. We say it like we know. I mean, we have the concept of it. Yeah, God with us. Yeah, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Yeah, I know he's with me. I know he sees what I'm doing. He's not like Santa Claus, like he sees you when you're sleeping. He's not a creeper like that. No, he's with you. He's with you. And if he is with you, he is for you. And if he is for you, who can be against you? That's the peace that the people of God need to dwell in. And that's what I want you to get today, but I can't make you get it. God can't make you get it. Unless you stand firm in your faith, God cannot make you stand firm. God can't give you peace when you're holding on to anxiety, church. He can't do it. He can't do it. Because they're opposite things. You have to trade one for the other. God can't give you faith when you're just doubting all the time. And you're rejecting the things that God wants to give you. So at some point, the thing that you choose over God is the thing that destroys you. See, Ahaz rejected the comfort of God. He chose what? He chose to form an alliance with the enemy. With the Assyrians. He chose human hope. He chose human security. He chose to confide in something that was tangible over the word of God. And so verse 17 says, the Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Israel departed Judah. Who is this person, you say? The king of Assyria. God says the very thing you confide in and put your trust in above me will be the thing that destroys you. I want you to hear this word, church. I'm going to have the worship team come up. I want you to walk out knowing that God is with you. That does not mean that everything is ideal, okay? It does not mean that there is no cause for concern. It does not mean that there is nothing to worry about. It does not mean that there's nothing in your life that causes you stress. But above all of that should be the peace that God is with you, and the faith that God's word is true. And again, this is not just about knowing that God is omniscient. No, this is about living in the evidence of God's presence. What is the evidence of his presence? It's peace. It's comfort. That's the evidence of living in the presence of God. But when you reject the comfort of God, that thing can kill you. Your depression could be the thing that kills you. Your doubt could be the thing that takes out your faith altogether, because you dwell in it for so long without reminding your soul, God is with me. God has not forsaken me. God loved me enough to come down here from his throne to become like me, to smell like me, to take on every sin that not only I would commit, but you would commit and you would commit on his shoulders. That is how much he loves me. And that person, that God is with me. I want to call your attention to one more thing. Because all the while when Ahaz was refusing the comfort of God, he was refusing the presence of God, God still was present. He was still there. God offered the hope to Judah in spite of Ahaz's unbelief. So what did he tell Ahaz? He said, okay, you don't want to ask for a sign? I'm going to give you one anyways. And he says, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. A reminder that God is with his people. But because Ahaz did not believe, and because the peace and the assurance of God's presence was not enough for Ahaz, God went around Ahaz. And we're going back to a little history lesson here. Ahaz almost lost the kingdom of Judah to the Assyrians. Almost took them out. But God in his faithfulness, God in his power, God in his goodness preserved his people because the promise of God was bigger than the disobedience and the unbelief of one man. Seven 700 years later, Jesus was born. The word became flesh, dwelt among us. To take us not from the oppression of the government or to free us from financial turmoil or our physical sicknesses, he came to be with us so that one day we could be with the Father. And that's the hope of God with us, church. That's the hope that we carry. That no matter what I go through, no matter how bad things seem, no matter how tough of a year this was for you, God was with you every step of the way. Every step of the way. And God is still at work in that promise. God is not forgotten. God is not forgotten. I just wanted to read, I'm going to ask you to stand. I want to read this last verse here. It has nothing to do with Christmas. But it's the hope that the Apostle Paul had. And when I think of the Apostle Paul, man, this is a man who was beaten for his faith, imprisoned, shipwrecked, ultimately died. But he had the assurance, he had the peace, he had the faith that God was always with him, no matter whether he was in the valley, no matter whether he was on a mountain. So he says in Romans 8:38, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God is with you, church. He's with you always. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, my God, because you are with your people, Lord. I thank you, my God, because you have not forgotten about us, Lord. And my God, I think some of us today, my Lord, may need to repent, my God, because we forgot about the promises you made, Lord. We have chosen to live in the anxiety and in the worry and in the fear, all while singing, God with us. Lord, I pray that today we would know it. We would know it, my God. We would believe in it, my God, even when we don't feel it. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would produce a peace in us, Lord, that would surpass understanding, my God. In a faith that is unwavering, Lord. A faith that says, even if I don't see this happen in my lifetime, your word is true because you are a faithful God. Thank you for being with us, Lord. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for choosing to be with us so that we would one day be with you, Lord. We give you honor and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, can we say that?
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at MyNumaChurch. Thanks again, and God bless.